This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health.
I'm Bexy Khan.
I'm Bobby Temps.
Each Thursday we delve into a factual condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it.
With special guests, listener emails and stats you can trust, here we go. Hello, welcome to episode one of Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health.
Hey Bobby.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how's your day been?
It's been okay. I was thinking about how I was going to start it when I woke up this morning. I was like, am I going to be high energy? I'm going to be like, everything's great. And then as my day went on, I was like, this isn't the best day. And I don't really think I need to pretend because that's not the point of the podcast.
Exactly.
So I'm okay. I'm fine.
So what's been happening today?
You know, life, stress, family.
The usual.
But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to get started. And I hope all our listeners are excited to learn more about what we have for them to learn about today.
For sure. I already have something I can relate to there because I'm exactly the same way. I'm like very conscious of my energy level because like when I was younger, I had like a really high pitched voice right up until like 17. You know this, obviously.
I know.
But I was like quite paranoid about it. So I think over the years I like learned to make my voice more monotone, and now I'm like undoing that, but I'm still conscious of, I think I sound like a baby if I get too excited. So I am genuinely excited, if that doesn't come across. But yeah, I'm still conscious of it.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. I needed that. All right, so first off, in terms of why we see this podcast as important, you have some stats for us.
Right? I do indeed.
Good.
So, start off, full disclosure, me and Bobby both have our own respective mental health diagnoses. We can get into that in a huge amount of detail in the future.
So much but to say.
I just thought I'd start off with some general fun facts. On the counselling directory, it says 615 million people have anxiety or depression in the world, which is a huge number, a huge number. And one in four people have depression in the UK.
Yeah, and that's according to Mind, right?
That's according to Mind, which is an awesome charity. Check out their website. All sorts of fun stats on there. So mental health problems are one of the main causes of the overall disease burden worldwide. I'm not sure how I feel about the word disease, but it's what's used on the Mental Health Foundation website. And one in six people in the past week have experienced a common mental health problem. So I always think when you read statistics, I always think about a bus full of people. And then I think how many on that
That's
bus.
Quite good, because the bigger they get, the harder it is to visualise. Like with that one you said about 650 million people worldwide have anxiety or depression. I was trying to imagine that, and I don't even know what country that is. I'm not even going to embarrass myself by guessing.
No, it's not.
No, let's not even guess. No, and that's something that we've talked about quite a bit ahead of this podcast, is that from our perspective, albeit being biased because we have, you know, volunteered in mental health related areas and we've got experience of it personally, we're kind of coming from the perspective of everyone experiences mental health. And I think even if by some chance you've never gone through one of the most common mental health illnesses or problems, I think you're still going to be affected by it. You know, at school we had like assemblies about it. You know, a lot of people, it seems increasingly so, know someone or went to school with someone that committed suicide. We're coming from the perspective of it affects everyone. Even if it's not you directly, there's someone else in your life, someone you know, someone in your family. And a lot of these conditions do come through in families, are hereditary. And that's not talked about.
No, not at all. I mean, I have a perspective now, having gone through my own diagnosis, that if I was to ever have kids, I'd be fully open with them about my health in the past, because I think that's something you would do with a physical condition. If you had a family history of cancer or a family history of diabetes, you'd have an open conversation about it. But it wasn't something that happened in my family. And it would have been helpful. Not in a fear-mongering way of, you're going to get depression. But in a way of, like, watch out.
Yeah,
but might be mindful.
But that actually does happen with other things. So, like, we have, like, some dementia in our family. And my relatives, particularly because it's more common in women, the women will talk about it.
Mm.
Will be like, oh, you know, I feel like that's the start of it. They'll make jokes about it. They'll bring it up.
Mm.
And that, you know, that doesn't happen with mental health in a broad way.
I think because of the whole stigma, that gosh darn stigma.
Which is why we're here, yeah. No, absolutely. And it's something that really needs to be crushed, because too often I've seen people in my own life where they've not been open about it and it's really affected them. And it builds it up to such an extent where then they have to almost have like a coming out conversation with their family, or they, you know, have to purposely like discuss with a counsellor about how they're going to normalise that conversation. It's a shame, because it's not that it's more extreme. It can be very extreme. You know, I'm coming from the position of, for my age group, the most likely thing to kill me right now is suicide.
I have a stat for you.
Go on.
That there were 6,000 suicides in the UK each year, and it is the biggest killer of men up to the age of 49. Isn't that terrifying?
I'm sure that stat has gone up. Because yeah. I'm sure it was 45 the last time I saw it. So,
really?
Yeah, you think you're over it, and then you've got another 4 years of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is crazy. And, you know, you've already mentioned things like cancer and heart disease, which you see on the, you know, the TV all the time. You know, how many charities do you know that specialise in that? I know far more heart disease charities than I do mental health charities.
But also, when it does come up on the news, it's this heavy thing. Mental health. It's this, like, if you think about BBC News, they'll have, like, a shadowy figure, or they'll have, like, a kid being upset. And I want this podcast to be a space for mental health to be talked about in a positive way. Mental well-being, mental recovery. I want it to be joyful and fun, but also get to the root of it. Talk about it. Talk about the dark moments, but also talk about the light moments, just as in life. Like, not everything regarding sure. mental well-being is this deeply dark thing.
Yeah, and that's something I've seen quite a bit on social media as well, because in preparation for the podcast, we've been building up our social media following. So you can come follow us on Instagram and Twitter, fun segue. We're Mental Podcast on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I'm sure I've come across even a few accounts that are called something like Kill the Black Dog. And the black dog is this visual representation people use of depression. Definitely Google that if you want to know about that. And it's actually very useful for describing it as this thing that follows you around and is ever present. But obviously people are trying to rebel against even something like that, because it's, you know, it's still so negative, even though it's accurate.
My own relationship to that comparison is quite conflicted, because I've often felt like my depression is part of me. It's not this menacing external figure.
Mm.
It's a sort of component of my personality that I need to learn to manage, just as much as I need to learn to manage every other aspect of myself.
Yeah.
So I have an interesting relationship with that. I'd like to hear what listeners think about it, because is a very prevalent image in the media, and I don't know how helpful it is. What do you think?
I find it helpful for describing depression. But I know what you mean, and I'm from a similar perspective on that, because I definitely feel like depression is part of me as well. And I remember when I was diagnosed, it was like a big weight off. And a lot of people have problems with the labels. You know, particularly I think people that haven't experienced mental health, they don't like hearing the labels. They don't want it to be true. And I've had plenty of people explain to me all the ways that I'm not depressed. So, oh, thank you for that.
Oh, but you smile.
Yeah. You don't seem depressed. It's like, yeah, I'm good at pretending. Well, because that's the thing. And I very much feel that I'm, you know, that it's always there and I'm keeping on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm aware that it's in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's still kind of ever present, to the extent where I'm so glad to have the diagnosis now, because it reframed a lot of growing up for me.
Mm.
And I had a conversation with my mum about it recently, and she was like, oh, well, you were quite a melancholy child. And it made a lot of sense, because there were so many times when I remember having things like birthdays, and that's when, you know, every kid is happy on their birthday. And I remember being consciously happy. I was happy on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of growing up then made sense when I was diagnosed, to the extent where now I feel like if someone turned around to me, like a, you know, medical professional as opposed to a friend that doesn't think I seem depressed, and said that I wasn't and the diagnosis was wrong, I think I'd take that quite badly, because it's helped me understand myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that's something we can bring through in the podcast, is that actually, although there are so many parallels with mental health and physical health, there's not when it comes to fixing. It's a very different journey.
Mm.
I can get a broken arm and it can be, you know, fixed, and that's that. Not every broken arm fixes itself, but most of the time it does. Yeah. With this, it's going to be something I feel I'll always have, but it's part of me.
Mm. And that's where I think... I'm going to be so annoying with this. That's where I think terms and language are very important. How we phrase it, being mentally ill, being sick, hasn't helped me. I know that it's important to a lot of people to feel as if this is something wrong with my health and I can get better. But oftentimes, for me, it's like, will I ever not be depressed? As I said, it's part of me. It's a component of me. I get anxious. I get depressive episodes. It's not going to go away in the same way that a cold would. And I think that's really important to bear in mind. Like, you can heal and you can manage, but the question of will it ever go away is very complex for me in terms of being mentally ill.
Yeah, I get what you mean. And that's why, like, I think with me, my default, and you'll probably see that a lot in the writing we do about the podcast and the description and such, I turn towards the term mental health as opposed to mental illness, because I think that's more of a sliding scale and something that you would work on in the same way you'd work on nutrition and things like that. Whereas mental illness makes it seem a bit more binary. That, like, you have the flu and then the next week you don't have the flu.
But I also don't want to minimise it. I mean, of course. There are moments when you do have depressive episodes. We're not just talking about depression. We're talking about the whole spectrum of mental health.
Yeah, so for disclosure here, so depression is the thing that we were both first diagnosed with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that we've been living with for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
With the show, we'll have guests on. Almost every episode is going to have a guest. We're just recording all of those at the moment. And with that, they'll be able to come in on areas that we know nothing about. And we'll have plenty to do with even, you know, depression from perspectives outside of ours as well, because every person's story is different.
Do you want to get into our mental journeys, as it were?
Yeah, I think we should do. We'll just go into this briefly because the next episode is going to be all about depression.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, well, my depression anxiety first spiked at university, which I think is a common experience for a huge number of people. I went to study in London at 18, which was a challenge in itself. It was a very isolating experience, and I started to notice my mood dropping considerably, my appetite dropping. I was in a pretty deeply codependent relationship, which didn't help, if we're being honest, but it was my coping mechanism at the time. And I just slowly fell into this very bad habit of not getting up, not eating, not going to class. And it was only when I came back after the summer into my second year that I was like, this isn't something I can manage anymore. This, I shouldn't be crying every day. I shouldn't be feeling like this. And I went to the GP, had that super fun experience of crying in the GP waiting room.
Oh.
And just slowly from there, it's been 2 years of therapy. It's been 2 years of learning to take care of myself as an adult, an independent person, which has been incredible. And it's been very tough, but I'm also very grateful. And I'm so glad that I'm in a position now where therapy is something I go to manage my mood rather than cope.
Mm.
It's a place I go to feel heard rather than fixed, which is a mindset that I had to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at starting this podcast. I want to make an environment where people can feel positive and hopeful and able to have fun. Like, you can be depressed and be so fun with your life. It's not one or the other.
Yeah, and that's made me think of a parallel for myself, is that I also have dyslexia. And for me, because that's something I was diagnosed with very early, so I got used to dealing with that far before I got used to dealing with mental health. And so for me, there's a lot of parallels, because that's always going to be a part of me. There's certain things like spelling. Some spellings I've just given up on at this point. Like when you have two with one or two O's, it always has one. People don't tend to argue with me about it. They just let it be. Because it's the same word, ultimately. But yeah, so that's something where actually I've got to the point now where I'm glad to have dyslexia, because it means I look at things in a different way.
Mm.
And there's loads of things like more visual or physical tasks. Like, I love IKEA furniture.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't have words on it. That's perfect for me. and I'm really quick at something like that. And I have family members that will hand me the physical tasks, but then they'll, you know, help me with the writing and such. Yeah. So I think that, you know, that's where I am with that. And that's where I'm trying to get to with mental health.
Mm.
I think I've not fully come to terms with that being permanent.
Mm.
There's still days where I get up and I just think, well, it would just be nice to be happy, to just like, just as a baseline. And it can even mean I get like resentful or spiteful towards other people. I'm like, how are you so happy? But
and how bad is social media for that?
Yeah. So that's something that's going to be a segment on the show as well. Each week we'll be putting forward a social media account that we recommend following. So it's going to be something positive, it's going to be something uplifting, just to push towards having a healthier social media life.
Because it is a huge part of our lives. I mean, how often are you on your phone?
Too much.
Like half the day.
Yeah, I haven't even turned it off for this. Like, I think I'll, like, miss out. We've got a big window here, but you never know. Birmingham might go up in flames. I wouldn't know if my phone's not here.
So when did your journey with mental health start?
It's hard to say, because I've mentioned already how being diagnosed with depression helped reframe a lot of growing up. So for me, I feel like it was always there, or always there as long as I could be conscious of it. I don't think I was a depressed baby. but sometime after that. But for me, I was diagnosed similar time at university. And with that, I never wanted to go to uni anyway. So not attending lectures wasn't such a big deal for me. But I'd gone from working and setting up a business, and I'd left school with a job. And so I was, you know, I was set up. I had my own income. It was a retail income, but it was more money than I'd ever had before. And I went from that and having my whole life and my whole setup to going to Bangor in North Wales, which is so much smaller and was a whole different world. And I remember I called up a friend of mine on my first day there when my parents had dropped me off. And I just walked around Bangor, like town centre, and it's quite small, and I was just going around in circles. I think I passed the same guy 3 times, and like his look at me got even weirder and weirder every time. And I was just saying to my friend, why am I here? Like, how did this end up happening?
Mm.
But we can get into that in another episode.
Mm.
But for me, I knew I had depression quite soon. And I got very obsessive over the NHS website. They've got a little quiz on there that's sort of roughly diagnoses if you might have depression.
It's awesome. It really helped me.
Yeah, it's not. It's far from definitive, mm-hmm. but it will tell you whether or not to go to the GP, which mm-hmm. is the right advice. And I remember doing it, and I kept like changing my answer, like, you know, like it's a Harry Potter quiz.
Every time.
No, I just was changing it to be like, oh, well, maybe I'm exaggerating that one. I'll move that one down. And every time I was depressed, and I was like, oh, right, okay. So actually, when I went to the GP, it felt a bit more like a formality.
Mm.
And I was getting worse, but I think I was okay at that point. But there were things that were building, like not sleeping. That was really having an impact on me because I'm someone that needs my 8 hours mm-hmm. every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't eating right, and it was causing, you know, problems with me and food, and I wasn't going out. And other people were becoming aware of it. My parents were worried about me, and my friends were worried about me. One of them came to visit me and then had a fight with my flatmates. You know, there was a lot of drama. And one of my friends there would just take me out. She would just like bang on my door and be like, get out. And she would just take me for food. And yeah. that was really nice. But she was from a similar position where she had come from working. So she was a bit older, like me, than the other students. And I think she better understood what I was missing from home.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about how we know each other?
Yes.
It's a long story.
Is it?
Is it that long? We've known each other for 15 years.
At least,
yeah. At least, yeah. Our mums are best friends. Our sisters are best friends.
Our dads we're nothing all right. in common. They're the loose keys. Yeah, so we've been around each other a long time.
Mm.
And we've always been close.
Yeah. Even when we went to university and I stopped talking to you, which was shitty.
She got a boyfriend, and apparently there's a one-man quota in her life, so...
It still stands.
It's just me now.
But I just always felt this connection to you, that like we really understood each other.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, even now when you say that, how to phrase it, because it's a bit like you see all these movies where there's these two kids and they don't fit in locally, and... I think we fitted in fine, really, but they have these kind of...
Weird.
We are still very weird. but they had these kind of dreams outside of what the norm was. You know, they wanted to go away. I've always wanted to stay in Birmingham. I'm not like that at all. But, I think we kind of had that in common.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's been
a journey.
Being the children of... I don't like the word immigrant. I don't know why. Being second generation in the UK.
Well, I think the problem with immigrant is how much it's like sensationalised in the media.
This is true.
Sun are not selling papers if it doesn't have an immigrant yeah. in the title, it seems.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and that's a whole different perspective. We'll do an episode on race as well at some point. But it changes things. And, you know, our parents are all doctors.
All four.
All four of them. So we're coming from that perspective because they've got, I think, more inherent pressure on them anyway.
Mm. And that whole medical perspective on...
Yeah.
You have to be strong to do their job. You have to keep it together. And even if they're having an awful day, you don't show that until you get home. And the element of containment yeah. is something I definitely took on, of like, people can't see it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And coming from, you know, living in a culture, in a country where you're not part of the dominant culture,
mm.
there is a certain facade to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's more pressure and there's more sort of third party perspective of, oh, we have to represent to some degree.
Mm. and achieve.
Yeah, and not just elsewhere, you know, outside of the family, but even I feel like in the family too, you know, because like I've got all this family in Ireland, and luckily most of my generation have now moved over to England or gone to America or gone somewhere else, so they can't really say much anymore. But there was definitely a point where there was a lot of judgment for having moved. It was like we'd abandoned the country some way. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's that, you need to set up this life for yourself. And, you know, being a doctor is a good career for that. People can't argue with saving lives as a productive way to make money.
Yeah, so my dad is from Pakistan, which I'm immensely proud of, but there's a lot of elements to Asian culture which make mental health management a lot harder. There isn't as much open communication as I'd love there to be. There isn't the same element of honesty. I feel like that's a judgment. I don't intend it to be. But that's definitely shaped how I grew up. And we'll get into this in as much detail as I possibly can.
Yeah.
But there's just something to be mindful of as we talk about our experiences.
Yeah. And if you want to have a look on our website as well, there's a bit of a bio about us.
You can figure out why I'm beige in my little picture.
So that's mentalpodcast.co.uk/hosts. There's a bit about us there. And yes, that's us on the cover art as well, just in case you want to face to the voices. So yeah, we don't have a huge amount of time now. So I think we'll go into a bit about the sort of structure of the podcast and just general stuff. It'll be a weekly show. We'll be putting one up each Thursday, and it will be cut to about 40 minutes. So as we've said before, most of them will have a guest. So we'll come on, we'll do a bit of an intro. If any of you email us with questions or even just stories that you'd like us to read anonymously.
Please email. I'm so like keen that. For these stories and healing and love.
I'm so ready. So yeah, definitely drop us an email. That will be part of the first segment. We'll take out some emails. We can't obviously promise to reply to all of them, but we will reply to a lot more than we read out. And we'll also bring in things like the social media account we're featuring each week. We'll talk a bit about how we are and sort of check in. So hopefully that can be a bit normalizing in itself, all the ups and downs we have.
Yeah, we're going to get even closer. I'm so excited.
I know.
I want to give you a hug already.
And we have loads of incredible and diverse guests already. Like we said in the intro, each episode will have a theme. So that'll either be a specific mental health condition, or it will be a factor that influences mental health more generally. So hopefully in every episode, there'll be something you can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Even if you don't, I think it's still really important. Like when I love podcasts, and sometimes I'll seek out the ones I know nothing about or have no experience with. And that's where you learn. And that's where you become more empathetic and feel more connected to people.
Yeah, I was telling you only the other day, like I listened to a podcast with Ed Sheeran in, and I wouldn't have sought an interview with him necessarily, but so much insight came through it. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that actually, despite the fact he's in a very different career, there was plenty I could apply to my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And he had loads of ideas on how to grow as a following, so we'll be pilfering all of those.
We also need a name for our listeners. That will come organically. I'm not going to try and make one up now.
If you have suggestions, definitely. Listeners just sounds a bit bland. That could be anyone. We want to own you, basically. We need a personal name. So all that's left to say really is you'll get the details in the outro on how to email, etc. I've already mentioned social media, and just get in touch, let us know what you think so far, any topics you want us to feature. It's been really positive, the response so far.
Yeah, thank you everyone who's been showing support already. It's so appreciated.
Yeah, I think the first person that contacted us was a clinical psychologist from America, and she took the time to get in touch and say, if there's anything you need, just let me know.
I already feel like this huge community of like open honesty and support. It's amazing.
It was really nice. And I know you have very little to go on here as our first episode, but if you do feel a rapport to us already, go onto iTunes and leave us a review for...
And subscribe!
Yeah. And definitely subscribe, yes please. I think that awesome. Is everything. Bye! Thank you for listening, and if you want to suggest topics to cover or any questions, email over mentalpodcast@icloud.com.
All emails are anonymous by default. Visit mentalpodcast.co.uk for a list of our recommended resources. And remember, they are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling and other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by Next Sky. Links in the description.
Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.